letting you know. I would never recommend anybody except, don't tell them how you'll vote, but listen to them. You can still be a polite neighbor, member of the community. But you never know who's on the other aisle watching you and thinks you're saying something else.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. So for the, does anybody else have any questions about Sunshine or public records? All right. For, this applies to all of you, and it comes under Chapter 112 of Florida Statutes, the ethics. Here's what you're generally not allowed to do. All the statutes are in there. Can't solicit gifts of anything of value for something. If the fire chief wants to take you out and buy you 5 pounds of shrimp so you vote for his stuff, you can't do it. Or vice versa, somebody doesn't want you to vote for the or approve the budget, you can't do that either. Can't accept gifts. You can't accept any money. You cannot use your position to obtain any benefit for anyone else. If there's a special privilege for yourself, for your children, for your spouse, for your parents, you can't use your position to do that. These are all basically character rules, golden rules. You're also not allowed to do business with the town. So if you, which in this board, that may come up from time to time, given your specialties and your backgrounds. That also includes your spouses or your children that own more than 5% interest in a business entity that may be affected. You can't do that. There is a specific portion of Chapter 112. It's in your packet. It's Chapter 112, Section 313. It's subsection 7A. So there's a lot to unpack there. I don't think it would come before you very often, but there are two parts of it, and they're important. And sometimes, especially boards that are made up of technically skilled people like this one, it comes into play. We had this at a code enforcement board, not here, where you want lawyers on the board. You want real estate agents on the board. You want specific specialties on the board. But we had a lawyer who works for a large firm, and that firm from time to time would represent people before the board. And the question was, well, I know I have to abstain, I know I can't vote on that, but can I even serve? And the answer is no under this statute. Any contractual relationship or relationship with a principal which will create a conflict of interest at any time, if that will continue from time to time or may come up again in the future, that doesn't mean you can just recuse. That largely means you can't serve. And I was very unfortunate because she was a terrific board member. So take a look at that. If anybody has any questions or concerned about that, I'll send you. I've got a memo on that particular statute. I'd be happy to provide to you. Let's see. It was not in your packet, but I put on the desk the bylaws. This came up at the last item. If you all ever do want to change, the 5:30 time is in your bylaws. That's why I would have to go back to the town council if you all were to change your time, because they would have to pass a resolution to change the bylaws to allow you to do it. The bylaws are largely duplicative of the section of your code that governs this board and your duties. And the terms for the officers and the alternate members. There's a section in here on Robert's Rules of Order, and I will just tell you, I hate Robert's Rules of Order.
Why?
Why? Because once you get past the basics, how to make a motion, how to second it, how to approve it, how to amend it, the book's this big. When you think of it from the town council perspective and what they have to do, we always recommend adopt it as a guide. So if you don't follow it perfectly, you don't get this very critical ordinance that's necessary for the town thrown out because somebody points to page 333 and said that motion wasn't properly made. So it gives you flexibility to get around those things. I do have a question for you. Who's the parliamentarian of this board?
It's either going to be the chairman or the town manager?
Chairman.
Chairman.
And that's in your bylaws. You make the final decision about rules of order and procedure. So many organizations, they have a dedicated parliamentarian. But in most local governments, a lot of people in the audience think it's the lawyer. It's not. It's the chair.
See, everybody's encouraged. I don't think we've lost anybody yet after one of these trainings, by the way. We've all thought about it.
The social media policy is in here. It's very short. It's short and concise, and it's excellent. In terms of operations of the meeting and the conduct of the meeting itself, there are, whether something requires a roll call vote or all in favor vote, the only suggestion that I do make, because some of the times we don't know when to push the button or the button's not on or we're standing far away from it, nobody can hear us, just always make sure that in all in favor say aye, that any opposed, and then it's always a good practice to say, okay, the ayes have it, or it was unanimous, just so for the clerk, who also may not be able to hear, she's able to get it down correctly. Let's see. At the back of your packet is the section of the code governing your board. You're very blessed because it's very short and it's self-explanatory. Form B, if you do find yourself with a conflict of interest, Form 8B, which you can get from the clerk, is on here. I'm not going to read it to you. You're appointed officers. You're not doing quasi-judicial, but if you have, so typically that means there are two different ways that if you have a conflict, you have to announce it in advance. Sometimes you have to fill out this form in advance, and it has to be read or included in the minutes. That is if you want to continue to participate. You can't vote, but you want to influence the decision. You want to talk to your members about it, even though you can't vote. There are a very specific set of procedures in here for how you go about doing that. They're particularly hard to follow. Most of the time, what I recommend, if somebody has a conflict of interest and they fill out this form, they give it to the clerk in advance, they announce their conflict, and then they either do one of two things. They just sit there mute and don't participate, or even better, if it's a contentious item, get up off the dais and come sit down, and wait till that item's done, then go back on. The law does allow you, though, to participate, but the steps you have to take in order to do it are a little more cumbersome. So if a conflict arises, in addition to talking to the clerk, please call us, but this is the form that you fill out. And other than that, there's a lot of fun slides in here about people going to jail for sunshine violations and public records, but I think that fairly covers it. Does anybody else have any questions? I do have cards that I'll leave with the clerk anytime if you want to call or have additional follow-up. And thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to move to the report of staff. Chief Scales.
Good evening again, board. Thank you for your time. Just want to go over a couple of things that the fire department's accomplished really in 2025 and talk about some things we have on the books for 2026. In 2025, just to give you an update of the department's activities, we responded to over 1,000 fire incidents, with 563 of those being transports. In December, our ISO rating was upgraded from a 3 to a 2. What this means is not only is it put us in a very small group of fire departments in the country, it also means potential savings to folks' insurances, especially commercial properties and multifamily occupancies. So there is a benefit in insurance. Again, it varies on property and it varies on insurance company, but there is a benefit to homeowners as far as that's concerned as well. And just to give you a perspective, less than 5% of the fire departments in the country are ISO 2 or better. So we're in a pretty small club. And that's 35,000 fire departments in the United States. So it's a major accomplishment. And your support, council support, and resident support and equipment and staffing has made that possible. So we thank you for that support. Along those same lines, in December, the fire department completed its site visit with the CPSC accrediting body, which was a huge undertaking. We had to write to 200 different performance indicators. The book's about that thick. And the team came in, there were four members, and they do what they describe is they come in and they look through all your drawers, look through your underwear drawers, look through all everything, every nook and cranny they can find, they look at. So they went through the fire department with a fine-tooth comb and are going to issue recommendations that they have seen, and they have recommended that we move to the final board in March for accreditation. What that means is we will be one of two departments in Volusia County that are accredited, which is a huge accomplishment. And just to put that in perspective, again, I said there's 35,000 fire departments in the country. Of those 35,000, only 335 are accredited. Only 14% of the population in this country are protected by accredited fire departments, and your community will be one of them. And of the departments that are ISO 2 and accredited, there's only 103 in the country that have that designation. And your fire department will be one of those departments. So we're very proud of that accomplishment. It's a great reflection on the department, but more importantly, it's a reflection on the community and what you all have allowed us to do. And we thank you for your support as far as that's concerned. So with much more to come. Along those lines, we managed some complex incidents last year. We had structure fires, everything from vehicle crashes with extrication and entrapment to an aircraft crash in the river over the summer. So we had an interesting time for little old Ponce Inlet. Things do happen here. We did place our new Quint in service at the beginning of the year, which you all were able to see. Most of you did. I think all of you probably have seen it in some form or fashion. We also implemented a pre-fire plan program, digital program, that allows us to map high-risk occupancies. And the nice thing with that program is it's not just for Ponce Inlet. We share that data with neighboring fire departments. So departments that are coming into Ponce Inlet that may not be familiar with these facilities and buildings have access to that data. And that's a huge accomplishment. We're proud of that. We've also, as I spoke to earlier with the radios, implemented the P25 radio system, which has added some capability and interoperability to our radio system. So a lot of things going on there. For next year, we have in the works our fire station feasibility study, which will be coming before council this month, actually next week, to get that feasibility study started. So we'll be bringing all of that information back to you once that's complete for your evaluation and consideration and comments. Volusia County just implemented a huge computer-aided dispatch and fire EMS record management system, two separate systems, and we're still in the process of getting them to work the way that they're supposed to work, and that's a challenge, and that challenge will be carried on into 2026, unfortunately. But with that, those new systems are going to bring new capabilities and hopefully some streamlined data collection tools for us. So you'll see some things from that. We're also going to be looking at a community-based health initiative. Council is going to, hopefully, we'll establish that as a goal here in January. So you'll see more information on that in the coming year. We're also looking at some officer development, succession planning, and some advanced fire and EMS training coming up. We are going to be replacing our deputy fire chief, hopefully in the next month or two. We'll bring somebody on board. We've got some fantastic applicants. We're really excited to bring a new deputy chief on board and see what that person has to bring to the community and enhance the fire department. So, as you can see, a lot of stuff going on with the fire department, not just running calls. Every day is a new adventure. And one thing about accreditation that I want to tell folks is it's not just a stopping point. It's not that you get the stamp and you're good to go. It's really the beginning point. So when we become accredited, there's improvement recommendations that we will be implementing. And every 5 years, we have to show the accrediting body that we did what we said we were going to do, and here's what else we're doing. So it's a constant constant improvement process. It never stops. It shouldn't stop. It's a great way for you as residents to see what your fire department does, where the money goes. We've been asked that question. Where does the money go? Here is where it goes. Here's everything that we do, why we do it, and how we do it. Not many fire departments can show you that. Not many fire departments can tell you that. And like I tell everybody, if it was easy to do, everybody would do it. So just to tell you how difficult it really is, only two of us in Volusia County have done it. So again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your participation on this board, because I know your time is valuable, but it's valuable to us as well, and we appreciate that. And with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
I have a question, and congrats on that rating, that ISO rating. ISO 2 rating. It's up to a 3 now, you say?
2.
Oh, a 2. Does that get reported to, like, the insurance companies, property insurance?
It does. Yep. The ISO organization will report it to the insurance companies, yes. And some folks, some carriers require a letter, which we can give you if your carrier needed that. That's no problem.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you.
If you're not familiar, 1 is the highest rating that you can have.
And what's the gap you got to close to go from 2 to 1? Like, what's the thing you would need to do that?
For Ponce Inlet, the biggest thing is the water system, water infrastructure for hydrants. Not that it's not good, but to get to that next level of a 1, it's a pretty significant investment. Not saying that we can't get there. That's a pretty heavy lift.
Is that kind of tied to Port Orange supplying water here, or is that?
No, it's our infrastructure.
Your
here.
Infrastructure,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Main size and hydrant locations.
Yep, yep.
When was the Quint put into full service?
January of last, it's been about a year now.
It sustained a little damage from trees in South Peninsula. Or drive, right?
Yeah, one of our little panels got snagged, but we've put it back up there, and, you know.
How do we keep that from happening again, or?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we went around town, and we have our little stick that measures the tree canopy. One part, I guess, they didn't measure was the county park, and that's where it happened. But that's been since rectified. That's been taken care of. And we actually, believe it or not, every time we have a big storm, I send them back out again to make sure that there's not been any changes with the canopy. For the most part, that should be an anomaly, to be honest with you. Can't say that it won't happen, but it should be an anomaly.
Okay.
So, but, yeah. Oh, well. Keep it rolling. It can't be perfect. I thought about that this afternoon when I was walking in my car. It's like, you know, we try and keep these things perfect as long as we can, but we all know how those things work out, unfortunately, especially with vehicles that large. So, any other questions?
Anybody else? Congratulations, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pinch hit for Steve Wargo, if you don't mind, and I had them put together a little update for you all as well. In 2025, the Public Works Department made significant strides in strengthening the town's infrastructure, emergency readiness, and public facilities. They did major stormwater improvements, were completed with the installation of one-way valves on Old Carriage Road, Anchor Drive, and Beach Street. And this is going to reduce tidal backflow and street flooding that we get from high tides, tidal flooding, that happens even when we don't have storm events. The Beacon Point Swale Project enhanced drainage along South Peninsula, and the Ponce Preserve and Museum Boardwalk projects were completed, restoring public access while delivering key improvements under budget. Town also advanced major capital efforts at Timaquan Oaks with boardwalk improvements and piling repairs, which were significant. We did the same thing with Ponce Preserve about a year ago, where we shut that thing down forever, it sounded like, felt like. We did the same thing with Timaquan Oaks and repairing pilings and just making sure that they're as safe as they can be. We installed new generators at the community center, fire department, and public work facility, which were huge. Now the oldest generator is actually here at the police station, and that's coming up on 20 years old, so we'll be looking to replace that in the next few years. But all your critical facilities now have generators and new generators, which is a huge accomplishment. Looking ahead to 2026, they're going to focus on continuing to strengthen infrastructure, facilities, and community spaces across town. Some key efforts include continued stormwater improvements through the Beach Street Pond expansion and Old Carriage Road exfiltration work. Critical facilities, we're going to be replacing the police air conditioning system this year, which is huge, and operational improvements, including new fuel pumps and enhanced security measures at Public Works. They're also going to be replacing 37 large water meters along South Atlantic, and they're looking at converting over time with these new meters to a radio read, where instead of the Public Works employee having to go out and touch every meter, they'll be able to drive a vehicle by and just read that data right from the vehicle, which is much safer, especially along Atlantic Avenue. Parks and Recreation enhancements at Davies Park and Ponce Preserve and Pollard Playground are going to be taking place, and they're going to be resurfacing the tennis courts, pickleball courts, and basketball courts at Pollard Park here in the very near future. So you'll see that some work going on down there. So they've got a lot of work slated for this year. So you'll see a lot of activity in town. And again, stormwater improvements is our focus as well in Public Works. So, yes.
How many employees are there in Public Works?
You would ask me that. I'm sorry. I know we're short one crew lead. I want to say 6 or 7 field folks. And I think mid-budget year we've been approved for 2 new employees at Public Works as well. So I apologize. I don't have that number off the top of my head. I should know that. So they've got a lot going on as well this year. So we're proud of the efforts that they do. They're some of the hardest working employees that we have in town. Any other questions? Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Good evening again. Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. So for the first time in almost 2 years, we're fully staffed. So if you think about it, it took me 2 years to hire 2 people. So it's a challenging environment. You know, obviously there's pay issues and other things. But I've gotten applications, but we won't just hire anybody. I hire people with experience. I hire mature officers because the call volume in Ponce Inlet is low. And so you have to bring the experience with you. I can't bring a rookie here and expect him to learn how to police. So I go through a lot of applications, but we're finally fully staffed. I have my 12 patrol officers, and it's an excellent crew, excellent, mature, caring crew. And so I'm very lucky. So for 2025, we answered just over 550 calls for service, 911 calls, well over 2,000 traffic stops, and our average response time for all calls was 3 minutes and 11 seconds. Excellent response time, probably one of the best in the country. I'd put it up against anybody. And so very happy with that. And in addition to that response time, we put a new software in place, which is called Live 911. It's by a company called Higher Ground. And so if you think about a normal 911 call, if you have an emergency at your house, you call 911. It goes to a dispatcher in Volusia County. That dispatcher will take your information. She'll kind of triage it, ask you what's going on, ask for descriptions, and as she's doing that, she's typing in that information, and that information is going to a dispatcher. It's going to her screen, and then she gets that screen, and now she's looking for the officer to dispatch it to in Ponce Inlet, who's closest, who's available. Well, with Live 911, when you pick up the phone and call 911, that call goes to my officer's computer. And so now my officer is actually listening to the 911 call, and he's actually starting to that location before the dispatcher even dispatches it. So it's pretty interesting. You'll hear officers all day long, you know, the radio will be quiet, and the officer will get on and say, "Hey, radio, I'm going to that suspicious person in Davies Park," and it wasn't even dispatched yet. So that alone should lower our response times even more. So we're very excited about that. It's great. Great software, and you're starting to see it all across the country. Most, if not all, of the departments in Volusia County are using it now, so it's good stuff. For 2026, you know, obviously the main thing the police departments do is they reduce crime and keep people safe, so that's always our number one goal. Our other goal is to slow people down, and, you know, we're going to try to increase our traffic stops in 2026. That was one of the goals that I gave to the town council, but we want to slow the vehicles down. We want to slow the bicycles down. We want to slow the e-bikes down because it keeps people safer. And, you know, one of our main concerns is always our elderly pedestrians that are crossing. trying to get to the ocean, and when they go through those crosswalks, people are either speeding or they're texting or they're just not paying attention. Everybody's distracted now. Everybody has something going on and something on their mind, and so our goal is to slow them down. And I wish the gentleman was still here that brought up South Peninsula, because I agree with him 100%. We write Hidden Treasures employees. We just wrote a marina employee that was going 45 and a 35 the other day. So, and they are always late to work. So I agree with him there. But we're going to try to increase our traffic stops in 26, put some more resources on Peninsula. And now that I'm fully staffed, I'll be able to do that. So that's exciting for us. Other than that, that's all I have, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Lear?
Yes, for the Planning and Development Department, our building division issued 1,347 building permits last year, including six new single-family homes. This compares to our typical average of about 1,300 permits per year. Our inspectors also conducted 3,153 inspections. In our planning division, following the completion of the watershed management plan in 24, the town's consultants prepared a technical memorandum recommending regulatory standards, codes, and techniques to prevent and mitigate construction-related impacts. The policy recommendations were accepted by town council on September 18, 2025. However, those policy amendments to the Land Use Development Code and the Comprehensive Plan are on hold due to Senate Bill 180. Currently, Brazaga Incorporated is developing the adaption plan, which builds upon the 2022 vulnerability assessment and the 2024 watershed management plan. The adaption plan will outline strategies to enhance resilience in the town's most vulnerable areas and is scheduled for completion by March of this year. A joint presentation for the planning board and town council is planned prior to completion of that plan. In our code enforcement division, code violation cases decreased by about 10% over the past year, decreasing from 862 cases in 2024 to 776 cases in 2025. However, when we look past 6 years, the division code enforcement division has seen 83% growth in cases, increasing from 423 in 2019 to 776 in 2025. With that, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Shibano, I see you hiding over there behind that chair.
Good evening. I'm Kim Shibano. I'm the HR director and the town clerk for the town of Ponce Inlet. First, I'd like to welcome all the new board members and let you know that the clerk's office is always here to answer your questions and to assist you in any way we can. If we cannot answer the question, we will find someone who can and help you. Okay, so our door is always open for these types of questions and your concerns. So if you're looking for someone to ask questions to, you could always start there and we can move on. Okay, I would also like to remind you that the board's next scheduled meeting is March 5th. And we still have two vacant seats on this board, one of them being the alternate number two, which is fire rescue and EMS, and alternate number three, which is our engineering. So if you know of any interested parties, please reach out to them and have us contact for more information. Again, thank you all for your time here and for just being with us. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't believe we have any public participation, but we'll open that up and we'll close that. So with there being no further business, the Essential Services Advisory Board for January 8th is concluded at 6:59 p.m. Thank you.